Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on GLC.
What's going on, baby? And as always, it's good to be in the house with you.
Thank you. I was reading an article today that the NFL lost $41 million on a TV contract with crypto. And I was thinking, what are you doing?
Crypto. Now that's interesting because that's the third story I've heard in less than a month involving losses of crypto money.
Yep.
Now I'm not exactly sure what it is, but it's like this faux.
It's invisible money. It's invisible, but it's not real.
It may seem like invisible money, but the whole point is they're trying to spend with it, and somebody was buying it because there were a couple of companies that were racking up a lot in crypto money, and this is not like Monopoly money or simoleons or any of the other fake stuff that people talk about. This is real money. So it's like, what was this money spent on? The NFL's made so much money lately that you'd think anything the NFL would be connected with would turn to gold.
Yeah. Well, I know a couple guys in California. $1,000 on crypto. I guys trying to give me that. I ain't touch it.
No shit. Well, I can tell you this. That's the second robbery we've heard of over the past few days, because there was one that I sat and listened to as if the 911 operator was there in my living room. 911, what's your emergency? I'm calling from Boston, and we've been robbed. What do you mean we've been robbed? We've been robbed. The fucking Miami stole all our cash and our dreams.
Michael, you know what's funny about this? And nobody knows where it's going. How do you not know where
nobody's
going?
That's true. Well, look, it's kind of hard to describe, but just like the Super Bowl was made in terms of prop bets, like the first team to score and the first score, that's exactly how this money was made. And it was a stream of money. The NBA looked like they had gotten in on a big thing. The Miami Heat went up 3-0, and it looked as if it was going to be, well, almost a sweep. And instead of Celtics Lakers, you're going to get Nuggets Heat, the worst combination out of all of them. And there were people that were pissed about that.
But you know what I read today, and 4.5
Right. Let me read that again. $4.5 million a game was bet on the possibility.
Okay. That's just average. That's just the average because we went to game seven. The first four games, that's the league's money.
Yep.
And if somebody goes 4-0, well, you know, sad, too bad. If it's you and me and you're up, say, 3-0, and I win the next one, so that it's 3-1, then if I play the next one and win that, I get 60% of the take and you get 40. It goes back to your home court. And if you win, you get 60 and I get 40. So if it comes to game seven, that's where all the cash is on the line. And it's like, sad, too bad. If you're not there on time to collect. And it looks as if everybody in Boston not only bet, but they backed up their bets. You know, because parlays are what make the money and then what lose the money. If you remember, when the game started in the pregame show, the announcers did a parlay that Jimmy Butler has to score, 25 points or something like that?
Yes.
And Jason Tatum had to score 30. And, Ron White or Rich White, whatever his name was, had to hit two threes, and somebody else had to hit a three. Now, you hit all four of those, you win the bet. So it wasn't even about whether Miami or Boston won the game. If you hit all four of those, you won. And the stupid part about it was no one was thinking in terms of, I just want to make the bet, I want to win, because they felt the Celtics, being the iconic franchise that they were going to make history.
Mm-hmm. And what got me was you have Charles Barkley, who's a broadcaster, At the beginning of each game, the TNT broadcast, he had a parlay bet. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. They're actually broadcasting the bet before the game starts.
Yep.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
That's a great example of the other side of gambling, Jake. It has come to that we see something funky going on, and we can't say they can't get away with this.
No,
they can't get away with this because they're putting it out there, and people are buying it, and they bought it hook, line, and sinker. And the Boston fans at home, well, they had delusions because they thought, well, you know, what Boston was supposed to win.
Yep.
And they bet with their heart and not with their head, dumbasses.
Yep. Well, Boston played a terrible game. When you go 1-15, and the it goes beyond, well, you know, before, like, 20, 30 years ago, I wouldn't have said this, but I'll say it now.
Mm-hmm.
20, 30 years ago, I didn't look into the game deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, working for BSN, I look into the game deeply. I look at every aspect of the game now. And when you go 1-15, shooting three-pointers,
yeah.
Don't you think that you would call a timeout and say, need to drive to the basket?
You would
see,
think.
I've seen it before. I saw it with the Golden State Warriors. When they shoot those three threes,
Yeah.
Well, the bosses did not do that.
No, they did.
And then you're getting butter, he's scoring a butter. I knew this game was over because the guy was not going to call a timeout.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was talking to Tony, our brother, at halftime, and I was shaking my head at the fact that, well, Miami, first of all, had survived the purge, and they were ahead.
Uh-huh.
But the second thing I noticed was they didn't do anything spectacular. They just ran their offense.
Yeah.
Now, Jimmy Butler has been a good scorer for them, and he's got a hardcore mentality, but there were guys like Caleb Martin, others, who they were like, who they? And
yeah,
all they did was score, and all they did was keep scoring. And everybody was collectively shaking their heads, and the talking heads on TNT were like, well, they got 51 points or something like that from their bench, but these are guys who were undrafted. And it's like, well, that's nice that you tell me these things, but you should have told it to the people who were going to bet the game.
Yep.
Because they lost a shitload of money.
Oh, man.
Now, I can, out of the four sports, I guess basketball is the second easiest to bet. You know, you bet on the collective points scored or how many points they win or lose by. But the fact that Miami was up 3-0, and then went 3-1, 3-2, and then 3-3, you know that pot was getting nice and fat.
Oh,
as
yeah.
As they got to day 7. And it was only a matter of time before, somebody was going to say, I need to collect. And the house did. You got to remember, in the casino, the house always wins.
I knew after the third quarter, I knew what was going on. You sit there and keep building up the selling mystique. The selling doesn't lose seventh game, all that crap. It was like over and over again. Everywhere I went, it was like something like a radio, or TV. Boston doesn't lose seventh game. They were bringing up the Patriots. They were bringing up the Red Sox, Yankees. The Red Sox come back.
Exactly.
The Yankees, they bring all that stuff back up again.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you were in Boston, you got the Okie Doke.
That's exactly what you got. And it was, well, how can I say it? Nobody came up to you and said, stick them up, and made you raise your hands and empty your wallet. You did that willingly. And what does that say about gambling? You know, at least in gambling, you're thinking, theoretically, I'll take a chance and we'll see what happens. Now, you didn't get to take a chance because you didn't get to see what happened. Miami did everything that they possibly could to give you a shot. And everybody in Boston who was screaming their heads off in the beginning, they were quiet by the time they got to the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't see any close games except for game 6. It was like when somebody got a chance, They put their foot on the neck, and they kept it there.
Yeah.
We saw blowouts. Each team won by at least a dozen points on every game except for game six that came down to that last second adjustment by White, which allowed the Celtics to win. And I'm sure once that happened, Boston said, we're going to win this. The TV guys want us to win.
Yeah.
The sports guys want us to win.
Yeah.
Everybody wants us to win. And besides, we're the team with the pedigree. All those championships, Bill Russell, Bob Cousy, all that shit. They were probably getting off on all that. And as they did, they bet more money, more money, more money.
Yeah.
And the pot got fatter and fatter.
Where the Boston Celtics came on the court that night. I don't want to say they're going in there losing the goose.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this could go either way. This could go either way. It could go really good for Boston or really bad. Either one of them, it could be in between.
True.
Because when you come into a game loosey-goosey, there's two things going on. You're not being serious. You are taking your opponent lightly. And I learned that in high school, you don't take anybody lightly. If you step on it, you keep going.
You got that right.
I go back to the coach. Because the first year coach, and he had step in for Abadula, where the other guy got fired. So he steps in. He doesn't get his coach that he was. He had to deal with the coach that he had.
Well, it wasn't a bad year. It wasn't a bad year at all. I mean, look, 57 games they won.
Well,
as Michael, myself,
when you become a head coach, you want your guys. You want somebody else's coaches.
But they weren't supposed to be there, G. They weren't supposed to be there. This was supposed to be a Doc Rivers, who's the guy who's coaching the Bucks. That's who they wanted. And ironically, the Sixers fired Rivers and picked up Nurse as their head coach.
Here we go. It's the end of the year, right? And the coaching carousel begins. The Phoenix Suns fired their coach. The Sixers fired their coach.
Yep.
Milwaukee fired their coach.
Yep.
Atlanta,
I think
it's Atlanta.
Yeah, so?
Okay, now, who's going to replace those guys? Well, Caesar already got Nurse, right?
That's right. The Sixers plucked Nurse from
and
war.
Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit is getting Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good move, but it's like the merry-go-round has begun. Let's see where everybody
is. Yeah, but see, unlike every other sport, basketball gives you the impression that if a guy wants to coach, he has a fair shot.
Yes. I like that. That's true. Yes.
You know, they don't do that in football. Nobody has any kind of separate commission saying that we got to hire this and we got to hire that. As a matter of fact, call up Tony. Call up Tony and see if we can get him to join the fund here.
All right, let me do this.
Now, while Gary's on the line, I want you to think about this. We've talked about gambling for a long time as to whether or not it was going to ruin or prosper. Now, I can't think of the times in basketball where somebody gambled so much that it malaffected a team's performance and they said, we got to consider basketball, change the rules. No, you don't say that about basketball. Football used to say it about, but now the NFL has made so much money that nobody gives a rat's ass about football. All they know is there's a line. Are you betting over? Are you betting under? Are you taking the points? All we know is you can bet. And if you can bet, that seems to be enough. Basketball, I can remember the long-running character from Law & Order, Lenny Briscoe, as somebody who bet on basketball, and he would say, give me a nickel on the Knicks, not 500 on the Knicks. It's like, I didn't know cops made that much money, but, you know, are you kidding me? The bottom line is you're supposed to bet with your hip and not over it. And unfortunately, you run into situations where you do. And this had to be one where somebody thought they could pay their mortgage by betting on Boston to win Game 7. Are you there? This is trying to get some gremlins shaking out for you.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay.
So you'll be here about 5 minutes.
Okay. So as you were saying, you got bet.
I knew this was coming. When FanDuel and DraftKings got a free pass to NFL, I said, oh, here we go. I watched the NBA playoffs this year, and every 45 minutes, there was a commercial on FanDuel or DraftKings.
45 minutes?
45, 50 minutes.
Wow.
It was either one or the other, FanDuel or DraftKings.
Well, they paid for the right for all that. And during the football season, we may not have noticed that as much, but it was
I noticed quite a bit of basketball. It was really, really prevalent. I don't know why, but it was. Because I didn't know that. It was in football too, but it wasn't that much.
Well, you have to consider this. They spent millions of dollars to advertise. So if they spent that much to advertise, you better believe they're spending even more to profit.
Yep.
I can only imagine how many commercial spots for FanDuel and DraftKings went up as the series went on. When Miami went up 3-0, nobody said boo. When they went 3-1, 3-2, the next thing you know, more spots.
Yeah.
And by the time the series got tied up, everybody was excited because it was like a tidal wave. All of a sudden, whoosh, big money. And let's remember, Gene, telling you on the TV that you can get a response to up to $1,000 for your bet. Even if you don't win.
Yep.
That's what bothers me.
You do the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, get out of here. What are you doing?
I don't know. That disturbs me. That you can spend that kind of money.
Michael, I can see in the future somebody lose their house, lose their car, lose their family. I can see it happening.
I can see it in the form of a documentary, which I think is even worse. Gary Gregg was a computer programmer who bet, 15, 20 bucks every week on the NFL games. He spent his money on teasers, and one day he bet and he won a little sum of money. All of a sudden,
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system. Your call
Reggie.
Has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Okay.
Reggie.
Is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
As we are trying to get folks back into the mix.
Okay. All right. I got off.
Radio Reggie is on his way. But having said all that, a documentary on people who bet their money and lost.
Nobody
talks about betting their money and winning. You know, that's rare. I mean, very rare. Because if you want a lot of money, the last thing you want to do is tell people about it. You're going to keep that to yourself.
Oh, man. I got to tell this story. This Barry guy lost his lottery ticket.
Uh-huh.
Somebody found a lottery ticket and cashed it in.
Yep.
And what he did was smart. He put a star on the back of the ticket. And he knew where the star was. I was thinking, okay, you lost the ticket, but you knew where you marked it. So he told the police. The police went to the other guy's house, got the ticket, and the California Lottery Board had to get the money back, give it to the correct guy.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was about 3 months ago.
Holy mackerel.
But how lucky was that guy? Because if he didn't know where his star was, he'd be out.
No shit. He would be out. And something like that, you don't get a second chance on.
You don't. But, no, you don't. We got Tony in the house.
Tony bet on Boston.
You know there's a better chance of me voting Republican than that happening.
Tony. I don't know about it. I have to ask this question. Because out here, I would get sick over here.
Well, that's why you play the games, Gary. So, you know, they had all ample opportunity. They had the game at home. No excuses. But, you know, and however you want to look at it, the better team won at the end of the day.
The gambling aspect of this.
Well, yeah, you know, a few people made a couple bucks. The folks that probably took Miami probably made a little bit more. But,
Vegas got over $45 million and they recovered.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, hey, look, they're still trying to recover from Vegas from 4 years ago, too, the Vegas Knights. So, you know, anything that they can, you know, anytime they can get a little extra something, they'll do it. And the NBA obliged. Now, what's interesting, and, you know, me and Mike talked about this sort of prepping for tonight. If you remember when all the scuttlebutt about gambling and all that other stuff came through, the very first sport that basically went on the record saying they were right behind it was the NBA. Matter of fact, you know, it was the NBA. Remember? I remember specifically Adam Silver. It was after one of the finals. I want to say it was after. Which one? I forget which final it was, but you know how the NFL, that's Friday before the Super Bowl, they have their State of the Union sort of deal. Now the NBA, I believe they do it like either the day before or like after game two or three of the finals. And I remember succinctly Adam Silver basically saying we would embrace it. He went on record. He went on record. The last time I remember, he was the first commissioner that actually went on record and said, "Hey, if it comes to pass, you know, we will embrace it." Now, you have to remember at that time, the NBA was already, I think, if I remember correctly, the NBA had already hosted an All-Star game in Vegas.
That
was either the first or second year that their Vegas Summer League started as well. So, and see, what it's also led to is that everybody and their mama thinking that every NBA game is fixed because, and there were a bunch of people who, once we got to the conference finals, was ready to anoint another Boston Laker final. But again, to quote Reverend Herm Edwards, that's why you play the games.
Well,
go ahead.
I would say one thing that we did not mention, which Tony hit right on the head, is that this con job was more like the Sting. You know, remember the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody said at any time the refs malaffected the game. I mean, this wasn't like the Lakers against Sacramento where they lost all their big men because the referees kept blowing the whistle on it. I mean, there's something.
And if you remember the Sacco Lakers series, that seed was planted in Game Six when Kobe basically committed you know manslaughter on Mike Bibby, and all the referees were basically doing their best Helen Keller, Marcel Marceau, impersonation.
Without the dog.
And then, yeah, and then in Game 7, in Sacto, Vlade fouled out, Weber fouled out, if I remember. I think they either fouled out just before overtime. I think one fouled out in regulation and the other one fouled out in overtime.
Basically
their nuts were roasted on an open fire for everyone to see.
That was the worst game I was screaming. That's the first game
where everybody could collectively look at all and say, "Fish."
The game smelled
like rotten fish, and nobody said anything.
Even Ralph Nader got all hot and bothered.
For real, that's exactly right. Nobody said anything about that though in the Garden. They were too busy mad and tearing up their tickets because they lost. And that handful of people that bet on the Heat and everybody else in Vegas is sitting back with Cheshire Cat grins because the house never loses. And you got to remember, it had to be a lot of money, a lot of money. For all of a sudden, the pendulum to swing this way back to Miami. Because out of those games, only the sixth game was a close game. It was last second. Every other game, clear the other team won, and there was no doubt about it. There was no argument about the referees suck or anything like that. It was clearly somebody scored more points than the other. And the next thing you know, well, all of a sudden, we got Game 7.
Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, the only time a Boston fan isn't whining is when their mouth is closed.
True that.
Don't get me done about them.
I'm just, you know.
When I was growing up, I didn't mind Boston. But once I went there, over 2 summers, I'm like, oh, hell no.
I've never been a fan. Well, yes, I will admit that as a very, very young child, one of the first teams I rooted for was the Red Sox with George Scott and Reggie Smith. But then common sense kicked in, and I became a Met fan a little bit later when they had Tommy Agee and Cleon Jones, Don Clendenin, and then a very young Kenny Singleton, and as much as it pains me to say, a very young Amos Otis as well.
Oh, he was a good player.
They also had Jim Bibby as well in the farm system.
That's right. He was 6'5", big pitcher.
Yep. Wow. A Henry Bibby and a Jim Bibby reference in less than 10 minutes.
There you go. You bet your Bibby. That was a good move. But think about this. With all the money they bet in this series, the Denver-Miami series turns out to be almost anticlimactic. And as pissed off as the Boston people will be, as pissed off as the TV people will be, I can't help but thinking somebody is in the back room counting the money and saying, "More money, more money, more money," and they got away with it as if they had robbed the bank. I'm still waiting for the 911 call to be finished.
You don't have a quote unquote big name, big money. But again, it all depends on how you look at it. Now, let's face it. Denver has basically, if you go by the regular season records, and of course, you know, the NBA and the regular season are, you know, for, you know, take it for whatever it's worth. The Denver has basically been the best team in the West
the last 2 years.
Basically the last 2 years regular season wise.
Right.
And they finally, and now they finally are getting to their final. As a matter of fact, this is, you know, Denver is the last, is literally and figuratively the last of the ABA Mohegans to finally get to an NBA final.
Mm-hmm.
And now Miami, this is now, you know, Miami's second eighth, they're the second eighth seed to get to the finals. You know, the Knicks of, I think it was Knicks of 2000. Or 1999, that got there, of course, during the strike shortened season.
Yeah,
what's
but, up,
now remember, during the season in the bubble, they got to the finals that year and lost to the Lock Horrors. So now to their credit, you know, for all the hype that Boston and Milwaukee and Philly and other teams have gotten over the past few years, this is Miami's second trip to the final in 3 years. So,
do you know that Mr. Pat Riley? This is his 20th trip to the finals. As either a player,
as a player, coach, GM, what have you. Now, I am going under the premise that he has lost the majority of his. Now, he's won a bunch, mind you, but he's also lost a lot. The reason why I say that is because you hear all the LeBron haters saying, well, you know, he's lost 8 times. Well, you know, Jerry West, 2-8, and I mean, I think 1-8 in his career in the finals, and Pat Riley has lost a bunch of finals as well. Are we gonna now again? You're gonna call Pat Riley overrated? You're gonna call Jerry West overrated? The friggin' logo. I mean, it's interesting how certain things are played up for what have you. But then when you look, you know, beneath the numbers and what have you, you know, I think he's lost as many finals as LeBron, but we're not going to call him overrated now, are we?
No, but on Facebook, on Facebook, every day, I have seen more anti-LeBron stuff than I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
And see, here's the thing. Just look at this aesthetically. Now, the Lakers were 2-10 at one point this year, and they got all the way to the Western Conference Finals. Yes, they got swept, but let's be very clear here. They were playing with house money after the first round. They were supposed. Remember,
that's right.
The Grizzlies were supposed to, were supposed to beat them. Remember when your boy Mr. Brooks said I like when your boy Mr. Brooks basically said I like cocaine bears. Unfortunately, you found out that it was a cocaine bear, and he's back home now.
Yeah.
But you gotta look at the whole picture. You see, again, people want to conveniently use, you know. Contrary to popular belief, numbers can lie, especially if you only use particular numbers to buttress your
argument. Yeah.
I don't want to get into a whole rant, but my whole thing has always been, look, if you don't like LeBron, let's say you don't like LeBron, but please don't try to tell me that he can't play. That's
the reason. This is the reason why I like him. America, go all the way back in slavery. LeBron is an example. They know what you disease.
I agree with you.
America's still the reason why we got Mr. Trump in president. This keeps going.
Gary, I hear what you're saying, but and you know, take Trump out of this because Trump is not a factor here. You got other black folks that are hating on him. But see, that's therein lies the difference. The Laura Ingrams and the Trumps, they were there. And again, this is not to excuse them, but the biggest problem to me is the black hate. That's all.
Yep.
To be quite honest with you, Gary, I never thought I'd say this. I think the black hate is more than the white hate, actually.
I agree. That's the sad aspect of it. And you have people who are in position that talk trash who are black. I ain't going to mention no names.
We give folks like that way too much press. But see, that's the biggest problem that I have with the LeBron hate. We're used to the white hate. That's nothing new. It's just repackaged now. That's all. There's no real major difference in that. What's bothersome to me is and I hate the black on black crime that's being laid on him. That's the biggest problem that I have because it's just, you know, it was interesting. Now, today, I didn't realize it until I went to – today is 16 years ago today where basically LeBron and the Lakers – not the Lakers. The LeBron had his, in a sense, breakout performance against the Pistons, which eventually – dethroned them as world champion.
Points in one quarter.
And yes. And you know, that to me, that's still one of his, if not the most, his signature games of his career. The ironic thing, if you remember, in game one of that series, he had an opportunity, I guess, to have a game-winning shot in game one. And he passed the ball to Daniel Marshall. Now, Lord knows there are more heinous crimes in life than to pass the ball to Daniel Marshall, mind you. But the fact that and I will never forget the backlash of, you know, how do you do that? You know, you just can't do that. You know, Jordan, and that's where Jordan wouldn't have done that. No, Jordan. Exactly. Jordan never passed it. Paxton. No, never. He never did. No, he never did.
Right.
But I digress. But see, and again, I don't want to turn this into a whole anti-LeBron thing. But unfortunately, because you don't have the quote unquote marquee matchup here that everybody thought they would get, now. Because folks may not want to watch, you know, that there's some lay fans that may not want to watch this final. They're going to spend their time bitching and moaning about, well, LeBron ain't here, so I'll watch it now. Oh, just go kiss the fattest part of my ass. And, you know, if you got to bash somebody just to feel good about yourself, how messed up are you?
There's a group of anti-Lakers. Anti-Knicks. And when those two teams leave, they're happy. They're almost like giddy when those two teams get out of playoffs. Remind people of that. 17 championships from LA.
I get the anti-Laker hate, and I'm willing to bet you 70% of them are green and white idiots who shall be held nameless, who blew a game, just blew a game, lost that game seven. But
Who are the anti-Knick fans besides the seven? Besides the seven Brooklyn, besides the seven Brooklyn fans in Schenectady. What's that?
The anti-Knick fans or anti-New York period.
Well, look, that's, you know, but see, I get the anti-New York thing, but hell, you know, let's just let them know that there are quote unquote longtime Knick fans that have Carmelo Anthony voodoo pin dolls. So, you know, I don't get that. I mean,
but
I know they're out
know
there,
what?
But I'm like, huh?
Tony, you know what? I think you hit it on the head. All right, now the great Jim Brown has passed.
Yes.
All we heard was how every year Brother Brown increased his yards. He stepped off because he wanted to leave at the top of his game. You know, all the things that fit the script in terms of what he would consider his legacy. Now, mm-hmm. LeBron has gone through similar stuff. More years, you know, you'll never hear about. He got caught in the motel with an 8-year-old. You know, he didn't do drugs.
That's the reason why I can't stand LeBron, because he has to be caught for doing nothing. That's why I like him.
No, Gary, that's not quite it. They can't stand him because he saw it all coming. They thought he was some dumb kid who would fall for either a piece of ass or some drugs or something shiny, you know, because he was young.
Hey, Mike, they thought that he would be doing the Ja Morant thing.
Yes. That's exactly what they thought. They thought he was Ja Morant.
Don't be mad for Ja because
Ja was genuinely was. LeBron could not be an exceptional human being whose maturity was far above his actual age. He was conditioned for this. He was ready for this. He understood the ramifications of what happens if I don't do this, or what if I do this. And he turned into a career. And by the way, he won a few championships along the way. He did everything they asked him to do. That's what they're mad at. He didn't fuck up. And he didn't have himself in a position where Phelan could say, well, LeBron failed again. They can't make him the butt of their jokes. He's got four championships. He told some of the media the kid was black ass. And they had to think about it. Have you ever, if you have, please let me know I'm wrong, have you ever seen Stephen A. Smith interview LeBron? Have you ever seen Skip Bayless interview LeBron? It's because...
Remember what LeBron said years ago?
That's right.
I was never the three reporters.
And Tony, I'm still stuck. I want to know who the third guy is. I think you might have been right that it was Jason.
The more and more I think about it, I truly do think it was Jason Hamhock. The more and more I think about it. I can't, do not quote me on that, but the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think it was Jason Whitlock. But again, I'd have to do a deeper dive. I'm going to have to go in a quick minute, guys, but the one last thing I wanted to say beforehand, this is going to be a pretty entertaining final, I think. I know that people are already, you know, preparing for whatever. And look, I'm not a big Denver fan. Put a gun to my head, I think Miami wins this in maybe five or six.
Wow.
I think they can go. I think they can go into Denver and win. You know, okay. That's been the biggest thing. Their biggest wins this year have been on the road. So I could see them. I wouldn't, you know, let's put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me if they took game one tomorrow night. Wouldn't surprise me at all.
Well, the TV guys were out to set up something they did not expect. They didn't get Boston. They didn't get the Lakers. But it should be an entertaining matchup. So
it definitely will be. It definitely will be. It definitely will be. Guys, I got to go. I will be in touch.
Thanks,
right.
Chief.
Right.
Take care, guys.
Michael, what I think in this series, what Rosa did to the Boston Celtics is very, very amazing. Remember, mm-hmm. when game five, the Celtics were raining down threes. Really raining threes, right?
Right.
And what Rosa did was, okay, we'll go to his home. Now, like I said at the beginning of the show, the Boston Celtics are the Golden State Warriors East. What I mean is this. If they go cold, and they beat off of the three-pointer.
You live by the jump shot, die by the jump shot.
Right.
Okay.
Steve Kerr understands that. Steve Kerr will say, okay, time out. It's time to drive the basket. The young coach did not do that. And they continue to do threes. See, I will show them. Drive to the basket until you get your shot.
Well, look, what can you say? They got back into the series. They brought it back to a tie. And even though they were losing, they were working on what they thought was going to work. Now, you can't make the ball go in the basket.
No, they could have done that. They didn't do that.
You can't get mad at them for that. They turned the series into something watchable because everybody that was like all ho-hum when Miami went 3-0, everybody was glued to the TV when it was 3-3. No one believed that they'd come back. And they did. You know, they're not the first team to come back, but they did. It just wasn't enough. And instead of thinking that, it's the Celtic pride and the mystique and all the other bullshit that they came up with.
Right,
the ball just didn't go in the basket, and the Miami Heat. Give them credit. They kept their composure. Jimmy Butler played solid. Kyle Lowry played solid. Caleb Martin was an X factor. They had no answer for Caleb Martin. He played well.
The question. Why didn't they take him out of the game?
Why?
Because they were not doing any good.
I can't say why. All I do know is that there's a lot of money that was bet that's no longer in the pockets of many Boston and many residents. So it's like, if you're going to bet, like they used to say at OTB in New York City, bet with your head, not over it.
With your heart.
And too many people bet over it because they had visions of making a big killing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody wants to make one. Everybody wants to think, well, in their lifetime, they hit it hard one time and they profited from it. But basketball, it's not the sport for me. I remember there were at least two occasions during the season when somebody bet a lot of money and they won or lost their money based on somebody making a jump shot. Now, you're going to put up $500,000 and hope that somebody makes the winning jump shot? Well, more power to you. I could think of better things to do with the money. But,
well, I need draft get you the draft. Better do what's going on. We're going on that. Really, we're going on that. I really believe that. They were counting on people putting money down. And people of Boston, they see Boston Green. They don't care what the other team is. They've been doing it for years.
Well, there's a different take on this. Let's bring up our colleague Patrick Farrar and see what he got. He's 201-344-3196.
Wait. Okay.
But that live radio, y'all. 201-344-3196? Yep.
This is the great up of gold, man.
Oh,
it's
on
my
brother.
Show.
Let a man come in.
On my show. 646-727-3649. 646-727-3649.
Must be having dinner. Well, while he's doing that, I want to shout out.
Right.
While he's doing that, I want to shout out to my colleague. I want to shout out to my colleague Ricky Hampton in Detroit City. We had been missing each other the last few days, and we were able to connect. And I have to remind Ricky about Kevin Hart and his ignorant nonsense.
Oh, don't get me started with that.
In perpetuating.
Yes.
The slamming of Allen Iverson. I really don't like it. I have a big problem with the guy. You know.
Well, Michael, I wrote a letter. To Chase Bank.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even receive it last week.
What did they say? What did you say?
I don't know, but I know the commercial that I haven't seen that commercial in 5 days.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen it. They've modified it. Now they've added two more faces to it. But the whole point is the premise of cash backing as opposed to practice is still the same. And they made it clear that we're going to take the knife out of Allen Iverson's back when we're ready. If this had been a Jewish actor, athlete, icon, whatever, it never would have come out their mouths. They thought because he was black that that he was a convenient target. And, oh, by the way, it's okay to say it. We can say what we want. They won't do anything. And I hate the premise that they think they can get away with something by doing this.
And again, lack of respect.
It is lack of respect.
And see, that's the one thing the African-American community, we have to demand that respect.
Well,
what I mean is this. 3 years ago, when Juju Jang and Dion Lim, ABC News, did their little thing against African-American men, I said, no, we ain't doing it. We ain't going there. And we had to have more people to write letters.
You can't do this. Guy, hold on. These people, they're anchors?
Yeah, Juju Jang is in New York. ABC is in New York.
All right.
And John Lim is ABC 7 in San Francisco.
Ah, okay.
Both of these Asian ladies married white guys who are directors of ABC News. So, you know what the philosophy was? It was an anti-black thing going on.
Of course.
Oh, my. Yo. No, you can't get on.
We love that live radio. Tell me it's your show.
I'm gonna dial you in for the show then. Alright. We got gremlin right there, the gremlin.
Yeah, put some gremlin remover on that ass.
Yeah, for real. Okay. Back it up. All right.
Hello.
Oh, little man, come in.
Yeah, man. What number is this?
This is Gary's show.
The
special edition of the Cove tonight.
Okay.
Welcome to the fray. And I got to say at this point, Patrick, it's nice to be rich. As
right.
I bet on Boston to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Not to lose, but to obviously waste their time and their money spending and hoping on a dream. The dream will get you in trouble. And they got in trouble because the pot got nice and fat.
Yeah, as sure did.
As each win by the Celtics boosted it from 3-0 to 3-3, Game 7 had to be a Super Bowl size payout to whoever won.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't do that much cash in one game, and it was already made clear. Gary said $41 million in crypto has exchanged hands. And that's fake cash. So we know real cash was spent like rain as Miami did what they were supposed to do in holding off Boston. What was your take from it?
Well, despite the betting angle, the takeaway was the fact that Adam Silver was pissed that it wasn't Boston in L.A. That's what the take from. That's the big deal, because that's what they were counting on. Not that folk weren't going to look, not that folks weren't interested, but that marquee matchup would produce even more numbers. What I call the stupid stipendous numbers of money that they wanted to get. And unfortunately, it didn't turn out the way either Boston or LA are going to get there. Even though I think the championship is going to be interesting. I think the games, the styles are going to be interesting, to where it's not how quick some folks think it's going to turn out to be that Denver's going to win over Miami. I think Denver will win, but Miami ain't no punk. They're going to do something, but it's not what the marketers of the on Park Avenue wanted exactly to do certain things.
Thinking in terms of the gambling alone, unlike, say, this series between L.A. and Sacramento, where the referees were doing everything they could to get L.A. into the series, this was pretty clean in terms of how it was officiated.
Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, there are too many eyes on it not to be.
Yes.
There are too many eyes not to be. Yeah. And particularly from the ideas of sponsorship, you want it to be as clean as it can be. There's too much money to be made. Too much money to be made. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Before Tony split, he talked about the level of LeBron resentment that still seems to permeate the league. It's something he says that I've always liked. He said, it's okay to not like the guy. Just admit it. But spare me all the lateral excuses or statements which dig at the guy, because your resentment is so thick that you can't help but hate the guy.
Well, there's some people are that way, man. I mean, I think when it comes to the reality of competition and what you want to see best, you want to see the best competitor. If you're liked in that, you should be in the game, right, frankly. There's too much on the line to be court not mentality.
But I was just Vandal and Zach can't get away with what they're doing.
Easy. When you got the money to put it together, they can do it. It's kind of like running a 100-yard dash. You're at the starting line, and you're just waiting for the court to say, bang, run the starting gun, go bang, and they take off. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
They have things in place before it happened. I mean, the classic case of, they were gambling, and the reason why Jersey is so ahead of them, because Jersey was preparing for something like to happen anyway.
Right.
And,
yeah.
They had things in place, and obviously they took off quickly. I mean, there's a place not too far from me, as one of the betting places that they go, where they have like 50 televisions and seats lined up where folks can go bet. I mean, and again, they were already, this was like a year and a half before the decision was made, because they knew something was going to happen, and it did.
Oh, okay.
I know California, in 2024, I'm going to vote for, it's on the ballot box where they have in-state gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So, I
Mm-hmm. Don't say that because New York has been sniffing around table games and having it legalized ever since the NFL decided to give them the Super Bowl back for 9/11. New York, if they go legal and they get table games, that just means they get a bigger share of market. People won't have to drive down the Garden State to go to Atlantic City or go up 95 to go to the Connecticut casinos. They're not going to stop this. I think that's the message. Gamblers here to stay, G. And any hint about credibility or the game being on the up and up, that's gone. That's long gone.
Yeah. Well, I think also what happened, the reality is that from the government perspective, there's too much money to be made not to let them gamble.
Exactly.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, I often refer to when several conversations I had with people over the last year or so concerning gambling who were concerned about them, going, all you got to do is to watch this documentary series from PBS by what's his name? What's the guy's that's all the PBS documentaries? Anyway, but he did the documentary on Prohibition.
Okay.
You talking about if there ever is a consensus of information that defines the evolution of why people drink and how it was stopped and how it brought back again, how liquor was brought back to the public again, he did it. He did it exponentially. And that's what the gambling is, man. It evolved to where they had to do it. You just couldn't hold it back. There was too much money not to do it. It's like they were trying to not to sell liquor. Are you crazy? Where they've been, probably when they ended prohibition, you know, it just proved what people wanted to do. And same thing with gambling. It's too much money not to do it.
So what happened when somebody loses their house?
Too bad. It takes me that cold. But that's, hey, that's the risk you take. I mean, there has to be some, obviously there's some people who can't control it. I shouldn't be that cold and calculated about it, but, you know, some people have an addiction. I mean, and some people realize that I got groceries to pay.
Yep.
I got bills to pay. You know, there's a realization that you have to do that. I mean, once a month.
That was Art Schleston.
Oh yeah. Oh, I know about Art. Intimately, I know about Art. Art was doing that in high school. Art was doing that back in high school, and people knew about it, but his talent was so immense. And Woody was so infatuated with him, you know, he let him do his thing, you know. And again, my ex wife, I've told you guys before, my ex wife was a news anchor in Columbus, and she did a major story on Art. And make a long story short, it was concise. It's probably at that point the best thing, book she had ever done. And she wanted to expose it, and guess what? They wouldn't let it show it on air.
That's right.
And the big reason they wouldn't show it on air, when they talk about Art's gambling problem, well, Art had a gambling problem, but how could he had a gambling problem to the extent where Art was at the racetrack betting on Earl Bruce's, the coach's horse that was running the race.
Yeah.
So, amongst some other stuff. So, you know, Again, Art had some issues, big time. If it gets that bad, something needs to be done. But he ruined his life for that. But the average person, big time.
Patrick Hammond,
yeah, sure enough, in and out of jail several times.
Having said that, though, Patrick, what have you seen as improvements for your business, for your community, that came directly from gambling profits for the state?
It's had you know, enormous amount of a recall in terms of money. What it's done, you know, where the specifics are, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know it's good for taxes, that's for sure, for the state. That's for sure. Some of it has gone to education, not enough in my mind. But if again, the government realized how much it was making and how much was can be made, they said, okay, let's not hide. Let's just let them play because we got to get our share. And that's what it meant. That's the bottom line.
I know in California, like 81, when they did the California lottery, mega lottery, they said that 25% was going to go to schools.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are in 2023, and they ain't getting it.
Well, that's par for the course, because when the lottery came out in New York State in 1976, the commercials that came on, the fine print said proceeds to improve education. There's no education going on that motherfucker, because we didn't see that. There were basketball players. There were athletes in New York putting their faces out there in the papers, trying to generate funds to give baseball jerseys, basketball jerseys, whatever they could for their schools. And that had never been done before. But yet the lottery is supposed to have the proceeds benefit education. It was bullshit. And it really hasn't changed. I haven't seen any proof of the money going to education yet.
No. And the thing is, and James.
And again, it when you know folks profess the you know issues to the relative aspect of gambling, the negativity of it, yeah, and until that bankroll comes in for the government, then all of a sudden folks get holy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
So where's all the money going?
Specifically, you know, if it goes to government, who knows where it's going? You know, and on top of that, in terms of what fan, like you said initially, what FanDuel and DraftKings are doing, they're making money exponentially, to which again, it's up the stakes of government getting their piece for sure, and expanding the commerciality of gambling to the point where it's now second nature. Significant that something that folk and I are talking about over the last 2 years, 58% of students are betting heavily on gambling while in school.
Yes. Yes. Now
that they're doing.
The thing that rankled me, Patrick, was in the beginning of the seventh game, and the tip-off was on TNT, and the announcers, all the talking heads, brought up the parlay.
Mm-hmm.
And this
was
before anything else was said. Jimmy Butler had to score more than 25 points. Tatum had to score more than 30. Ryan White, whatever his name is, had to hit two threes. I mean, but you had to hit all four of these factors to collect. And they made sure right off the bat that's what listeners knew. Now, the XFL had become infamous for doing this when they returned on TV. They talked about the point spread. They talked about the over and under. And during the course of the game, they were following each score and counting the points up. So they were well aware of it. This wasn't like nobody knew what the fuck was going on. So they told everybody in Boston, this is what you need to play. If you want to make that money, this is the bet. And that's a long way from suspending people because they spent money betting on basketball.
Well, you know, it's ingrained into the aspect of the game. I mean, the parlays, again, it's so attractive to various people. And look, in the NFL stadiums, when they're showing, you know, gambling aspects of what to do during the game, what's that telling you?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And it's right on the screen, you know. So it's too much money. It's too big to fail. It's too big to fail.
Speaking of
where they get it from? See, this is it. Where they get it from? They got it from 1950s. When we had runners going to the community against football. Remember the football tickets? We're getting to the school. This is teams. And you took the team and you get it before Thursday. That's where you got it from.
Well, you know, well, let's be honest, with you guys. Football would be what it is if it wasn't for gambling. Let's deal with, you know, I'm an in-depth student of history. The New York Giants were purchased for $600 on a gambling bet. Come on,
that's
it starts there. It starts there. I mean, come on, that's what people gotta realize. You know, it's gambling. So what? I mean, that's how it started. And NFL should be the last people to talk about, you know, gambling issues. Please.
But we know people have been arrested and suspended for the NFL and basketball and other major sports as hypocrisy because they talk one thing out of one side of their mouth and out the other side of their mouth, they're punishing people. They already know. If there were no action, there would be no sport, and there probably would be no fans. So I can't blame TNT for putting out the parlay in the first 5 minutes of the broadcast. I can blame TNT for getting mad at basketball player A, B, or C who spent money on his team to win the game.
But see, what I think will happen next is, and I pray it doesn't happen, what I think will happen next is, there's a big bet going on, and a player gets bought. And when that player gets bought, he throws the game. At the end of the
already saw it coming. In 1994, the Arizona State basketball team had one standout player. They fixed two games so that they worked out playing the ball, working the spread, and it works for them. The problem was they did it one time too often. They got greedy, and next thing you know, it all came out. And the young man, I think Netflix was the entity responsible for this. They did an excellent job talking about it. The young player who was involved, I think his name was Headache Smith, was denied a chance to get into the draft of 94, and Grant Hill and a few other players were in that draft, but he did not get selected because they knew he had been involved in fixing and shooting point in the game.
Well, all I can say is this. It's not beyond the aspect of that happening, but I will say this. It's going to be very difficult for anybody to do that these days, because just as much as we've been involved in promoting gambling and all kind of marketing, the government and FBI and everybody else got hands in everything just to catch your ass.
Yep.
Believe me. I mean, if they can catch a referee on a ghost website, come on. they can catch you if you're gonna blow a game, you know. That was in place when the deal was made to bet on the league. How can you keep the game from looking rigged as much as they can?
But does this put NIL and sports betting on a collision course? You would think that they're supposed to take care of players now, so you wouldn't have to worry about that.
It depends on the school and the individual.
And believe me, there are people out there who want to catch somebody. I mean, what's the kid? What's the guy that just came back? Raleigh just came back from betting on some boys betting on for him. Come on,
he's just
coming back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they got all kind of folks, you know, who are ghosting us people. Oh, we can take care of you, not knowing it's government. They catch your tail. You know. So I mean, personally I wouldn't try it because they'll embarrass you.
Make it look real bad too, boy.
You can't look no better than the fact that you're a pro player, you're making money, you get a chance to make even more money as a free agent. But you are so greedy and so stupid.
There you go.
Your bad judgment allows you to spend a whole year.
There are two things that people in entertainment and in sports who are not on top of the game intellectually do. One is betting on games. The other one is they're involved in narcotics. Either way, they're going to catch your ass. They're going to catch you. Because there'll be a snitch somewhere who has heat on them on something else to make sure you get caught. So,
that's what happened with Ja Morant. Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah.
The first time Ja Morant. Somebody just took him back in the backyard and say, look, John, you can't do X, Y, Z. You just can't do it anymore.
Do you know what Zazen is?
No. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what Zazen is. I know his agent is real pissed off right now because he him loaning over $500 million. I'd be pissed too.
He would have been a new base of the NBA. He would have been a new
That's what they
wanted
to do.
The NBA. And now it's like we don't want to anywhere here.
Well, that's what they want to do.
That makes you realize just how mature LeBron was. He saw the signs. He didn't fall for the okie doke. He avoided the traps or whatever pitfalls that happened early on, because if they were going to get him, they would have got him when his mama was dating Delonte Hall in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. They could have made that very messy. And whatever LeBron did or didn't do, it prevented them from not going there, because they could have. And, again, it would have been a mess. But he survived it. And they couldn't pin it on him. They couldn't point it towards him. And they couldn't say directly or indirectly that it was his fault.
No, that's one of the great things about, at this point, LeBron is done. He's used the aspect of ready for prime time. He was ready, mm-hmm. and he carried it out. Unfortunately, Ja ain't ready for prime time, and obviously, the result is what he has.
Mm-hmm.
What he has. When you blow close to over $500 million set up for you, man, please, you ain't ready for prime time. Case closed in the story.
Yeah, it's true.
Shit. I mean, but there's a lot of that's going on because guys are not ready, guys are not prepared, guys are not And then too, I think the last week I said there's a mental aspect to this for the individuals who has to deal with those expectations. It really is. It's easy for us to sit back and talk about it, but there is pressure on guys who have to perform and live up to the expectations of what everything that brings with them, in terms of money, family, all the other various platforms of how money is made and what it could do. That's not easy. As what people think, but if you have the right people around you to keep you level-headed, and that's part of his problem. Maybe he had too many yes people around him. They got like people around like me saying, "Nigga, what the fuck's wrong with you?"
Yep.
I know the NFL. The NFL has a rookie
symposium.
Yes.
Yeah. They have it every year. Both AFL and NFL. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does the NBA have one like that?
Yes. It has one. Big time.
Well,
big time.
I never heard of it before, but I know about the NFL.
Well, you can have it, but, one of the things, what's the old saying? If you have money, how you respond to it is not what you are, not what you were, but what you really are.
Right.
And having money, one time I had one of my students who said he wants to be famous. I said, being famous ain't all it's cropped up to be.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing, having a lot of money, folks. Have a lot of money. That's why I told you before on many occasions, these guys, when they're going to be drafted, they have these Super Bowl parties or draft parties. That's right there is the groundwork of going broke. I've seen it in NFL. Definitely seen it when I was in NBA. guys, you know, having draft. What? You know, everybody's there and to start the craziness. So with that in mind, people have not don't understand how to use, and they say money is the root of all evil. No, the lack of money, what to do with it is the root of all evil.
You got that right.
It's been money in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it's been, you have a draft party, and you have money, you have to get all the stuff. Nobody helped you pay for it, so what do you do with it?
Well, Gary, some draft parties are sponsored by the agent and entities around him. But eventually you've got to pay him back.
That's right.
But, and only paying back, you know, that payback could go back for years. You know, so,
yep.
Again, that sets the groundwork of having problems.
And think about the odds. The NBA will draft, what, maybe 60 players? Football will draft. It used to be a lot back in the day, but at least 200 now. You know, thousands of people are playing football and even more playing basketball. Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. Millions, please.
So how in a ham, as my man Reggie would say, how in a ham sandwich are you going to be able to work out a lifestyle based on maybe money? Because you got to get selected first, and then maybe there's a possibility of more. You know, a lot of folks ain't thinking, and that draft, well, it's come and gone, and your money could come and go just as easily.
Mm-hmm. And there's pressure to that.
It's a problem because you have baby's mama's girlfriends.
Yeah.
Crazy.
You get connected with an entourage that you don't want. I remember the draft from the year before last. The Titans drafted an offensive lineman, a big brother. And his white girlfriend was draped all over him like fly paper. And Big Mom was sitting there laying on her. And I'm sure if the cameras weren't on him, she'd have commenced to whooping her ass and his ass too for being so stupid and ignorant by the very sight of it.
Well, I think that guy killed his boyfriend.
Well, Michael Sam was just stupid. Michael Sam played in the SEC. Well, no, excuse me, not in the SEC. But he played Division I football. He was decently rated, but he had an agenda. And Oprah had an agenda because he tried to get her to do a reality show, and she was down for it, but it had to be done her way.
Right.
And then the last day of the draft, he got chosen as the 253rd player, and he's kissing his boyfriend. I mean, he's kissing his boyfriend. Now, I'm not one to knock public displays of affection, but there's public displays of stupidity. And that was just dumb. That the National Football League, as conservative as they are, would buy him coming in there, becoming a distraction. It ain't working.
No.
And it didn't work. And he has nobody to blame but himself because the Raiders have a gay lineman named Carl Nassib. When I see what his name is, he plays defense.
Well, there are many gay people in NFL.
We know.
But they keep it on the down low.
That's what's playing with the Browns no more.
Yeah.
Yep.
And speaking of that, we have a thing about it. The LA Dodgers have a real row over this issue because Glenshaw demanded a Christian Day game in contrast to the LGBTQ game in June in the Dodger Stadium. It's become an issue for the LA Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Now, Gary, you're exactly correct. And they should have a Christian Day, because I can guarantee one thing. You ain't gonna ignore LGBTQ community in LA. So let's stop
that. That's right.
You know.
You're not gonna ignore up here in Bay Area either.
Maybe. Let's just give the Christian Day. I have no problem with that. I'm going to bounce it off. That's right. But it could be like, well, I can't. I'm not going to.
What the Dodgers did was stupid, right? The Dodgers made a non-issue an issue. What I mean is this.
I'm correct.
They could have done it very quietly behind closed doors. And they didn't do that. Clayton Kershaw said, we ain't doing that.
Mm-mm. You know, Patrick, you were in promotions for a lot of years. How do you negotiate something like that? How do you work fine line between making people understand that this will help get people in the seats as opposed to this will make people stay away from the game?
Well, it's a tightrope that has to be walked. But also, you got to realize the temperature of the world. And the chemistry of the world sets fire to a thing I've said for years. If you don't evolve, you die.
Yeah.
So if you think you're going to... One thing I had to explain to somebody a long time ago about particularly LGBT community. I said, they were talking about, how come they got so much influence now? Now, it always has been. You just didn't know about it. That's all, you got to be careful who you talk to and how you talk to them. I told my interns over the years, when you go out to the world, don't pull them out of their bag.
Yeah.
I said, because you don't know who is in that community and who's not. Now, the way to cover your ass is say, well, that guy's sensitive, so you have to be careful. Some things you might not much say about him. That way, there's a medium there that they don't know how to gauge your temperature or what you feel about it, but you're not insulting them. You're being responsive in a way that is recognized who they are, as opposed to be blatant and say, well, he's a bad man. You want them to have no job for a long time.
Right.
And I was Sam didn't realize that. And I knew when Sam, I saw a video of Sam. I said, okay, your career is done.
Yep. Just. Just be by yourself with your family and leave it alone.
Yep.
But see, that's proof as to what an agent can and can't do. If he had somebody that genuinely cared about him, he just said, Mike, there's some shit you cannot do. You can cry if you want to, but all this tongue kissing on that shit is not going to work. It's going to turn your boss off. These cats are old school conservative. It's going to make it harder for you to make a team, even if you're considered good enough to make a team. All that an agent would have told him, but he chose to go his own way and now he's wrecked his career because of it.
And your point is well taken. Nassib, it came out as gay. And
yep.
Folks don't just look right past it.
Yep.
Come on. I mean, he's 6'7", 270 pounds. You know, and he's on the other team. Like my boss, he's on the other team. Well, you don't know what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
But he, you know, that dude was put out there as you know, as a point person, and he wasn't in the capacity to handle it and didn't handle it well.
No. I'm gonna be going up at the top of the hour.
All right, we get into that time where it's final thoughts. Patrick, throw something in the pot.
Well, I tell you what, there's some stuff that's moving in college, in the landscape of college sports. Here's an indication. About 30 years ago, this small school had an athletic team that was virtually nobody knew about. Mm-hmm. But over the last 30 years, this small school has grown to the point where they only had 2,600 students.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have close to 24,000 students.
All
and
right.
They've been in multiple NCAA tournaments. And that school is Gonzaga.
That's
well,
right.
Gonzaga is about to join the Pac-12.
Oh, shit.
They're in negotiations now to join the Pac-12. If they do that, just for basketball, they'll be here for basketball. It's a crack and a leak in the system of stability of leagues. What else is going to happen because of that? Look out for it.
That's scary because, what are they, West Coast Conference, WCC, whatever? Yeah, if they get in, that might break the I can't say it'll break the conference up, but it'll drive a huge fissure in what they're supposed to be because Gonzaga was their anchor. You know, they could depend on Gonzaga to represent the conference every year.
That's right. And that's been involved.
St. Mary's.
Yeah. Well, St. Mary's, San Francisco, or be a different kind of conference. But Gonzaga is about to make a move.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, there you go. You know.
And imagine the money off Gonzaga and Kansas playing twice a year.
No shit. Now that is what it's really about. You know, they've gotten to the point where it's more money, and the
there you
money
go.
Is beyond, well, I won't say the money is beyond them. They're beyond the money. You know, their name now has a value to it. And there's dollar signs connected to it. They know what they are. They earned it by playing, and they earned it by drafting, or not drafting, but recruiting. So between those two factors, Gonzaga managed to become a big fish in a small pond, and now they may be part of the Pac-12. That is a lot to consider.
More to come.
Gary, what do you think?
Well, I was thinking that Santa Clara would go back then. Santa Clara and USF. When UCLA and USC went to the Big Ten.
That's next year.
Okay. Now, that's about Santa Clara.
Well, something's going to happen because it's already started. But having said that, I want to spend a couple of minutes and shout out my man Ricky Hampton Sr. and the African-American athlete, the staff there. They do a great job. And I also want to recognize the fact that we've been here for a while focusing on being advocates for black athletes in sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long has it been since someone went after an athlete simply because they didn't like the guy? As Tony likes to say, if you don't like the guy, just say so. We've seen the ESPNs of the world go after black athletes, male and female, and provide vitriol for stifling their career. And it's all because of the simple fact that they resent what they're doing. They're in the business. They can't get paid without them. They need them. And yet they resent them. This shit has got to stop. And commercially or non-commercially, it makes all the difference in the world. And just like Gary was steady on the Washington football team, I'm steady on these Chase commercials with this cash back and bullshit. Kevin Hart is an ignorant fool, and there's a word for him, but we don't need to say it. But it's like we're saying Malcolm X. What do you call a man with 2 degrees, with this and that and other things? If he's the certain color that he is, you call him what that word is. And nobody stopped anybody from saying, hey, don't do that. Nobody stopped the guy from getting hired. Hey, give this some thought as to how you can handle this. There's an approach to this. No, they haven't done that. So Kevin Hart and the rest of the losers on there, they need to be put in check. Or as my man Patrick would say, they need to be jab smacked.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to go by Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp, this week, will leave the Undisputed Show.
Oh.
Mm.
This has been brewing for, it's been brewing for a while.
Why?
Fox Sports bought out the show.
Uh-oh.
And they will replace it with Club Shay Shay, which is his short podcast he does every week.
By himself, yeah. Does it well.
That's going to be the new Undisputed, or another name for it, but it's going to be the new Spice Sports Network show at the beginning of football this year. This should have been done years ago because Skip Bayless, I never been Skip Bayless fan. When he called LeBron James, he would call by his right name. He called my badness, but Skip Bayless. Anyway, congratulations to Shannon Sharp. Best wishes. I hope he does well on his new show or old show.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it going, brother.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for everybody for listening. Taking time with us on a Wednesday. We'll be back on Sunday in our normal rotation and our normal format. For everybody here, for all the Cold Caravan and all the Soul Patrollers, go safe, stay safe, and be safe. Good night.
Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between, we focus on all the major players and stories, daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.